Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey. Family, welcome to day 157. Also, welcome to a brand new book of the Bible. We are transitioning out of 1 Samuel into 2 Samuel. And I want you to keep in mind, originally, these are not two different books. But for our English translations, for these, for the modern Bibles that we have, they are two separate books. Obviously, the themes and the narrative and the storyline is all going to be consistent. If you've read 1 Samuel, then literally, the opening words of 2 Samuel are going to pick up right where 1 Samuel left off. 2 Samuel is just going, is not even going to, literally, nothing's going to change, okay? I need you to imagine that if this was all one scroll or kind of one narrative storyline, plot's not going to change. Nothing is going to change. We are going to seamlessly move from 1 Samuel to 2 Samuel. So today we've got 2 Samuel chapter 1, 2, and 3. So we're going to dive into the opening movement of the book of 2 Samuel. And where we left off in 1 Samuel is Saul is dead. Okay, Saul, his sons, his armor bearer have all died in a battle against the Philistines. By the providence of God, David is actually nowhere near this battle. And we pick right up there as we begin reading 2 Samuel chapter 1. It opens with, after the death of Saul, David returned from striking down the Amalekites and stayed in Ziklag 2 days. So remember, the Philistines don't trust David to fight with them. Ziklag has been ransacked, burned to the ground. And so David is pursuing the Amalekites who have done this to Ziklag. Now, on the third day, a man arrived from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he came to David, he fell to the ground to pay him honor. So to this point, up until this point, David does not know that Saul's dead. David is absolutely clueless that his friend Jonathan is dead. I've escaped from the Israelite camp. What happened? David asked. Tell me. The men fled from the battle. Many of them fell and died. And Saul and his son Jonathan are dead. This is verse 4. Verse 5. Then David said to the young man who brought him the report, how do you know that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead? Next verse. I happen to be on Mount Gilboa, the young man said. And there was Saul leaning on a spear with the chariots and their drivers in hot pursuit. When he turned around and saw me, he called out to me. And I said, what can I do? He asked me, who are you? An Amalekite, I answered. Then he said to me, stand here by me and kill me. I'm in the throes of death, but I'm still alive. So I stood beside him and killed him. Now, this is not what 1 Samuel has told us. At the end of 1 Samuel, there is no account of an Amalekite assisting Saul in his death. Okay? So it seems like this Amalekite's lying. And why would this Amalekite be lying to David? Well, this Amalekite has some political awareness. This Amalekite is aware that I'm talking to Saul's rival. Okay? So I'm talking to David. I'm talking to the guy who's next in line to be king. I'm talking to Saul's political rival. So, you know, let me go ahead and score some points with David here by letting him know that I made sure that your political rival was actually dead. Then this takes a turn for the worse. So I stood beside him and killed him because I knew that after he had fallen, he could not survive. And I took the crown that was on his head and the band on his arm and have brought them here to you, my Lord. He thinks he's scoring points with David. Verse 11 of chapter 1. Then David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and his son Jonathan and for the army of the Lord and for the nation of Israel because they had fallen by the sword. David said to the young man who brought him the report, where are you from? I'm the son of a foreigner, an Amalekite, he answered. David asked him, why weren't you afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Then David called one of his men and said, go strike him down. So he struck him down and he died. For David had said to him, your blood be on your own head. Your own mouth testified against you when you said, I killed the Lord's anointed. So David gets news that the man who's been trying to kill him is dead. And David mourns. He fasts till evening. Not only is he not happy, he then orders that the man who's lying, this is just the worst mistake you could ever make. He didn't even kill Saul. He's lying. He's just trying to score points with David, but he don't know David. David is a man of principle, and you do not lay your hand against the Lord's anointed. According to David, who was actually anointed by God, the Lord's anointed is Saul. And this is where we begin to see character versus morals. And I know that's hard for people, but David has character. There's just, he has a code, and he will not break that code. And he will honor Saul until there's no more life left to honor. I mean, Saul's dead. And here you have David, who's killing the guy who's saying that he killed Saul, even though he didn't actually kill Saul and he lied about it. So let me kind of give you some context clues, some nerdy nuggets in the Thomas tree. And it's leadership at its finest. I also want you to just get this leadership lesson really quick. Verse 11, then David and all the men with him took hold of their clothes and tore them. So David's men know the deal. David doesn't have to tell his men to mourn. The men are mourning with David. Why? They mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and for Jonathan, for the army, and for the nation of Israel. Anyone who's rejoicing over division within a nation doesn't understand how important unity is. So David and Saul are on opposite sides of the political aisle, opposite sides of the political coin. They are political rivals, but David cares more about the nation of Israel than his own political success. Even though his own political success is going to lead to the flourishing and the thriving of the nation, he cares about the nation of Israel. He cares about the army. He cares about Saul. He cares about Jonathan. And he's been around, these men have been around him long enough to know we better weep. We better weep and mourn for Saul, who's been trying to kill our leader, David. But according to David, the leader is who God has anointed. This is a man of character. This is incredible. This is not the guy who's gonna split somebody's church and go down the street and start a church. Okay, that's not David's vibe. Okay, David is a man of character. And I know pastors who have high morals. They don't smoke, they don't drink. You know, they've never cheated on their wives. But boy, they'll split a church in a heartbeat. So they'll do something that lacks character, even though they won't do something that's immoral. And this is where we need both. I'm not advocating for one or the other. I'm just saying, man, Saul didn't have an issue with morals, but he had an issue with character. David, as we're gonna definitely see in the book of 2 Samuel, is gonna begin to have a massive issue with morals, which is going to lead to an issue of failed character, which is going to lead to the demise of his leadership and his kingship, period. Let's get some context. Let's get some nerdy nuggets and let's get a timeless tree. Okay, here's the context. Because David was in Ziklag for 2 days, when Saul died, because David is in foreign territory, when Saul dies, a power vacuum is created. And Abner, okay, who's leading the army for Saul, okay, Abner makes Ish-bosheth king. Why in the world is Ish-bosheth even alive? Okay, how is a grown man from the family of Saul even alive? Well, it's because Ish-bosheth is a coward. He's a grown man who's not even fighting in the army. So why does Abner make him king? Abner makes him king so that Ish-bosheth will be essentially a puppet king. That means somebody else is really in control, and they're using the king as a puppet king, and they have strings attached. Get it? Like a puppet. So Abner is really going to be in control because he controls the military. Ish-bosheth has no real power, but he's got royal blood. And so Abner, because David is not where he's supposed to be, it's going to be a huge theme. Because David is not where he's supposed to be, there's a power vacuum, and now we're going to have civil war, okay? Saul's family, led by Abner, is going to now start fighting David and his men. David is going to get anointed as king, but only over Judah, okay? He gets anointed as king over his own tribe. So now we're going to have civil war. It's not going to last long, to be completely honest. And what we're going to see is a rival between the man who's leading Saul's army, which is Abner, and the man who's leading David's army, which is Joab. The reason there's going to be a rival is because Abner is going to kill Joab's brother. Now, Joab is not to be messed with. Joab is a bad man, okay? Joab, you say body count around Joab is not about sexual exploits. It's about how many people this man's killed. Okay, Joab is a bad man. So we're now going to begin to see a pattern with David that David is unable to correct and check the people who are closest to him. We're going to see this with his children a little bit later on in the book, but we're going to start to see this with Joab. And to be honest, Joab does David's dirty work for him. Okay, so if somebody needs to die, somebody needs to go away, Joab is a little bit of a hitman, okay? So Joab is going to take revenge against Abner. Because Abner kills Joab's brother, Joab is then going to kill Abner. And this is going to be one of the first moments where David does not do anything to bring justice to Abner. He does not punish Joab. He doesn't check Joab. He doesn't correct Joab. And anyone that you cannot correct, you cannot lead. If you cannot correct someone, then you cannot lead them. So we're going to start to begin to see that David, he cannot correct those who are very, very, very close to him. He's going to be very, very loyal to Joab. Now, this is going to culminate in the story of David in Bathsheba because it's going to be Joab that's going to be responsible for killing Uriah. Okay, so it's difficult for David to correct Joab because Joab also has a little bit of dirt on David. Not a little bit, a lot of dirt. And that dirt is going to accumulate. Okay, so that's just context for why there's civil war. There's civil war simply because David is in Ziklag when he really should have been in Israel. Because he's not in Israel, there's a power vacuum that's made. Abner is going to install Ish-bosheth as king. And nerdy nugget here is that Ish-bosheth's real name is actually Ish-baal. And Ish-baal is named that before Baal worship really takes root in the nation of Israel. Once Baal worship takes root in the nation of Israel, these texts are gonna almost get revised, edited. And anytime the word Baal could be used in a way that could be confusing, the editors are going to switch things around. So instead of Baal, it's going to be Bosheth to make sure that readers understand that Saul didn't name this boy Ish-baal because he was worshiping Baal. Baal kind of goes from a common word for God to being like a deity, a formal deity that is the main idol that the people of Israel are drawn to worship at a later time. So it wouldn't have been weird for his name to be Ish-baal in this time period. But if you fast forward 100 years now, if Baal is in your name, it is because your family is worshiping Baal or worshiping Baal. So in order to remove any confusion, later editors, these would be scribes, are making sure that we don't draw conclusions that we're not supposed to draw. So that's just a nerdy nugget. Ish-bosheth's name is actually Ish-baal. I've given you a lot of context, okay? You're going to see Joab is going to be a major character, so you're going to want to keep track of who Joab is. So look at, and now our timeless truth, okay? I want you to see something, okay? The moment some Amalekite says that they killed Saul, what do they get? Swift justice. As soon as David finds out who kills Ish-bosheth, swift justice. But David knows that Joab has killed Abner in no justice, okay? And I wrote this down as our timeless truth. People are gray. People are layered. People are complex. People are messy. And we're going to see this with David. David is complex. He's messy. He's gray. He's layered. But God is not, okay? People are messy. God is not. Trust in Yahweh leads to flourishing in life. That's the simple truth. Had David trusted Yahweh, there wouldn't even be a civil war. Had David trusted Yahweh and been where he was supposed to be, there would be no civil war. So we're seeing the complexity and the gray of a civil war. Joab and Abner shouldn't even be in a situation where they're fighting each other. They shouldn't even be in a situation where Abner is killing Joab's brother. But they are in this situation. And like life is, once it gets messy, it kind of gets more messy. Now that David has left this power vacuum, Ish-bosheth has been installed. There is a civil war. Instead of doing the right thing, which is to correct Joab, he does not correct Joab. And that is going to be a trait that is going to follow him all the way through this book. That's the first three chapters. Okay, last thing I'll say is that there's a song right here in chapter one. Okay, this song is actually one of three. And these three songs work to bring structure to 1 and 2 Samuel. So Hannah's song is in 1 Samuel. We're going to get a song at the end of David's life that's going to be at the end of 2 Samuel. And now this song of David, as he's mourning the death of Saul and Jonathan, is right here and in chapter 1 of 2 Samuel, which would be the middle. Okay, so if you look at 1 and 2 Samuel as one unit, you're going to get Hannah's song, David's song, and then David, another of David's songs right in the middle. So these three songs act like bookends and then a middle of the book for the scroll of Samuel. Not 1 and 2 Samuel, but just Samuel. All right, I gave you some context clues. I gave you some nerdy nuggets. I gave you timeless truth. I'll see you tomorrow for day 158 as we get into 2 Samuel chapter 4 through 7. If you're on a streak, I'm proud of you. Keep it going. If you're not on a streak, all you need is 2 days. And then just keep adding a day and adding a day and adding a day and adding a day. How about you try to get on a streak? I'll see you right here tomorrow. I love you. I'm so proud of you. Peace. Thank you so much for joining me on the Bible Department podcast. If this episode was helpful, it would mean the world to me if you'd give us a follow, rate and review the show, and don't forget to share. You can learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and find us on Instagram at the Bible Department. If you want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow. What if I told you that what you're learning in this video was just the tip of the iceberg? The Bible Department is actually powered by Arma. What is Arma? I'm so glad you asked. Arma is an online subscription-based platform that we designed to help people, everyday people, learn the Bible for themselves. We started Arma so that anybody, anywhere, could have access to trustworthy and entertaining Bible and theology content. In addition to this podcast, we have over 60 courses on individual books of the Bible, on theology topics, and on some hot topics like homosexuality, tithing, and women in ministry. But really, Arma is a community of people that I've gotten to know, a community where thousands of people are currently finding family, asking questions, and nerding out on the Bible together. If you want a community to read the Bible with you this year, or if you want to dive into some deeper theological content, or if you want more exclusive access to me and the entire Arma team, how about you go to thebibledepartment.com. I'll be sure to post the link in the description of this video. Let's make this your year to become a Bible nerd.